getting close to finishing that up. It's going to probably take at least one, if not two more times to get through it. We're in chapter 15 right now, but again, I want to thank all those who prayed for Jerry Perry, Janie's mom, and she went and had stents put in. She's got 14 stents. I don't know what the record is, but it's getting up there. So it's amazing what they can do. She's 87, will be next month. So just thank you for her prayers, and that all went well. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and take and turn it to Romans chapter 15. And we've been looking at the book of Romans. It's a book of doctrine. Paul wrote this probably at his second missionary journey in Corinth. And so he penned these words to this church. He had never been to Rome, but yet he's writing to them. There are people that he knows that are in Rome. And we'll see that in chapter 16 when he really closes out the letter. But he's writing to them and he's giving them a foundation of things. You know, we can go out and we can look. The heavens declare the glory of God. And we know that just looking outside and seeing the trees and seeing all that's been made, God is in all of that. God made those. He created them. And of course, man has denied that. And he spoke of that. He spoke about the pagan, those that would have a reprobate mind. He spoke about the moral man who thought based on his works and his goodness that he could obtain favor with God. He talked about Gentiles, and they had a conscience. And in that conscience, they could understand that there's a God. He talked about the Jews, those who had the law and knew better. And all of those, he came to the conclusion that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in chapter 3, I think it's verse 20, he begins and talks about justification and how that we can be justified not by what we've done, but by what Jesus Christ has done. He is the justifier. We stand before God. It's going to be based on our knowledge, or better yet, our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so he makes that clear, and he tells us it's by faith. He shared about Abraham and his faith, that based on what Abraham did, God counted his belief as righteousness. And of course, Abraham, we will see him one day when we get to heaven. Looking forward to that. And so he went on and he talked about our present condition, that when we put our faith and trust in Christ, that we are buried with him, and now we're to walk in this newness of life that he's given to us. It's a different life. It's not the old life. It's not something that we work up or change ourselves. It's what God does inside of us through the Spirit of God. He changes us, and through that we learn to live for Christ and to walk as Christ did. Then he came to chapter 7 and he said, boy, I got a struggle on my hands here. I still got the flesh and I got the spirit. And there's a battle that keeps raging there. Of course, as we know about the Indian proverb, there's two dogs that lives inside the Indian. The one you feed the most is going to win. And that's basically what he's saying, is that if you feed the flesh will have control. If you feed the spirit will reign. And then he went on to chapter 8, and he told us we had victory in Christ Jesus. And as we know that, and he goes through that whole chapter and he talks about as we walk with Christ, and he talks about as we live this life and what happens in the end, that nothing can keep us from God. Nothing. And then chapter 9, 10, and 11, he talked about Israel. He spoke on how Israel was blessed. They had the prophets, they had the law, they had all these things, and yet they still rejected God. But throughout that whole process, because of their rejection, Jesus came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so it's been opened up to the Gentiles to receive Christ as their Savior. And he's indicating some of that here in the book, last chapter. He's going to mention some things about that a little bit. But then we got to chapter 12. And beginning in chapter 12, to chapter 15, verse 20, he gave us practical application, how to live this Christian life. First, dedicating ourselves to the Lord and walking with him. And then after that, he told us about some gifts that we had that God has given to us that we can serve him with. He talked about how we're to relate to each other as Christians, how we're to love each other and to encourage each other. He also talked about how we're to relate to the lost and how we to deal with them. And then he talked about, that was, I guess, 12, 13, 14, 14, well, 13, what 13? I can't remember off the top of my head. 14, he talked about the meats and eating those meats and not to offend our brothers. And of course, that was specific to the Jews and the Gentiles and the differences they had. The Jew believes there's certain laws that they have to follow. And he says they don't have that liberty yet. They don't understand that. But for those who do have that liberty, the Gentiles who have the liberty to eat those things or to do some of those things that they couldn't, didn't have to observe Dave's or whatnot, he said for those not to offend those that are the weaker brother who don't believe they have that liberty yet. And so he talked about that, basically talking about we're to love each other. We're to encourage each other. We're to strengthen each other. He talked about our neighbor. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves. And then chapter 15, after verse, well, actually it was 12, I think it was, 15, 12, he begins to close the letter. And basically that's where we're at. He's talking about his ministry. And he's closing out on what he's seeing, what he's planning to do, as the Lord wills, of course, which we will see that he doesn't get to do these things that he thinks he's saying he wants to do. Or at least we don't know if he actually gets to do them. There's nowhere it's written down that he did. But he did get to go to Rome, and that was something that the Lord had told him that he would go. And so the Lord blessed him through that. So here he is. He's writing this letter to the church in Rome, and he's trying to encourage those folks in some doctrine and help them out. And now he's closing out his ministry. So we're going to begin reading verse 13. I'm going to read down to verse 33 tonight, and we'll pick up where we left off. Verse 13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another." That's a good report. "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed through the mighty signs and wonders of the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I am come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the Word of God. We thank you for allowing us to study these books. We're thankful that you've given them to us, and that you use these men, Father, by the Spirit of God to lead them to pen the words to these particular churches, but also to us, that we might have an understanding of what your calling is for us and how we're to live in this present world, and having an understanding of what's important to you. Father, I pray now that you would go before us, and Father, that you would speak to each one of us. I know that it's a long night on Wednesday night, and I just pray you'd help us to look to you and trust you tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to ask you if you're tired, because you probably can't raise your hand. I understand. So here we're in verse 16. He's talking in verse 14. He said, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." So there was a good report. He says, I know that you're able to take care of spiritual things. I know that you're able to admonish one another, to encourage one another, to take and give counsel through the Word of God. He's saying, this is good. But then in verse 15, he says, nevertheless. And again, changing that direction. And it's the same situation for all of us. We're reading through the book of John, and as I'm going through there, we see things that, we think, and it makes us think again. How did this happen, and how did this occur? It's easy to forget, and it's so important to go back each time through it to remember, why? I want to know what God thinks about things in this world. I want to know what God wants for each one of us to do, how He wants to lead us, specifically myself, but in general, everyone. And so to do that is to go back and remember. And that's what he's doing. He says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. Again, this grace is on the road to Damascus, he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And God called him that day and told him that he was going to be an apostle. And of course, most importantly to the Gentiles, but the Jews also. And so he has dedicated his life to this thing that God has given to him, the grace or the favor that God gave to him to be able to accomplish these things that he's done. And so his focus is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he wants to remind these folks of and to encourage them in these areas. In verse 16, he's talking about being centered in that very thing we said, the gospel, that I should be the minister, Paul said, of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Again, the whole idea of this triune God, Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. How? By the Holy Ghost. You can see the Trinity all over the place in the Bible. Why? Because it's real, it's true, and it's a doctrine we cannot forget. A lot of people want to leave that aside. The Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe in the Trinity. They really don't believe in God, and they believe in a false God. But we know different. We see it time and time again. And so here he's speaking of that whole thing, and he was a minister. That word minister means public servant of Jesus Christ, to who he said to the Gentiles. That was the folks that weren't Jews. Now, he was a Jew. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a man that understood the Old Testament Bible, and he was religious as they get. That's why he was going out and capturing the folks who were believers, is because he said they were blaspheming God. And the Lord changed his mind in that situation. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15, and Paul was told, he says, "Go thy way," he's talking to Ananias, I think it was. "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." That's what God called him to do from the very foundation of his salvation. And he told that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1 for a second. Thinking in terms of his ministry. In Ephesians chapter 3, excuse me. Did I say 1? 3. I want you to look at just a couple of verses tonight. We're just going to read those. And just to be reminded. And as we're looking at this in the book of Romans, he's writing this letter. And there's history behind this of things that he has already accomplished. And he'd already been to Ephesus several times. And so he's writing to these same ideas and principles. In verse 1 it says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us," "unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. We don't even know what that is yet. The unsearchable riches of Christ. We're experiencing it on a daily basis. But to know what the outcome and what that really means, probably not till we see Jesus we'll understand it all. He says in verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. He's saying his purpose and what God has called him to do is to be a minister of the gospel of God. That's what he said. Turn back to Romans chapter 15. So in verse 16 he says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. And you know, it's so important. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24 says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. This is what Paul was writing to the church there as they were meeting in Miletus. He had the Ephesian elders come down. And he told them, this is the purpose. This is what my life is about. And again, it was for them. It was for the Gentiles, the purpose that the offering or their sacrifice or their presentation might be acceptable unto God. And how could that happen? How could their presentation to God be acceptable? It's the same way for everybody else. And that is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Without that, you will not be acceptable to God. I don't care how hard you work, how much money you give to the church, makes no difference. If you don't have the relationship, you will not be acceptable in God's sight. He'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I don't care how good you are. That word acceptable means well received. So Paul is preaching the gospel that the Gentiles would receive the Lord Jesus Christ and understand that and have that relationship. And it comes down to the fact when that happens, something happens inside of a believer. The Holy Spirit enters in. And through the Word of God, we start to understand what God's plan and purpose for us is. And we turn all the way back to Romans chapter 12 when he began this whole thing and this application of the practical Christian living. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He's talking to Christians. By the mercies of God, it's only by the mercies of God that we can do anything. There's no way I can do anything that this Bible speaks of without God's mercy. Anything that's supernatural, you need a supernatural spirit that indwells the believer to accomplish it. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And of course, that word reasonable means nothing extra. It's just basic stuff. Just keeping the things you know to do. He says, and be not conformed to this world. How hard is that? That is hard. Very hard. Go study the Old Testament. See what God required of the Jews in that day. Now, we're not under the law. We're under grace. That's right. But nonetheless, the same God who looked at people back then looks at people today. And he calls things holy and unholy. And it's by him and his measuring stick we should measure everything. And we should study the Scriptures to find out what that means. So he says, and be not conformed to this world. And again, it's very hard because everything we have, you know, it's like I've shared with people before and talk, getting conversations. They say, well, you're wearing a tie. That's of the world. You know, you about can't argue with that, can you? I'm wearing what the world has thrown out there. And it's interesting because the world dictates the size of the tie. I got ties in my closet that are different sizes. Anybody else got any of those in here? Some that are kind of wide, some are real thin, you know. That's all about the fads of the world, isn't it? Same thing with suits today. You can't find a suit that hardly fits the way it should. Now they're so tight you can't hardly get into them. I mean, if you pick your size, you have to go up two sizes to get one that fits. It's just getting terrible, and that's all by design. That's all by design. And if you study that out, we need to do that some night and study about these people who make the fads and fashions and what their purpose behind those are. Because they have an actual purpose behind that. Why? Because they're following the god of this world. But anyway, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How am I going to be transformed? Right here. By the renewing of my mind. How am I going to get my mind renewed? This is what's going to renew my mind. Is digging in here and submersing myself in this and finding out who God is. What is the character of God? Well, we know He's holy. We know He's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, immutable. He's holy. He's merciful. He's gives grace above we can even handle. He loves us with a love we really don't even understand. But that's God's character. And there's so many more things you can find out and search throughout the Scriptures. You find out who He is. And we do that as we renew our mind. Why? That we may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. That's what every Christian has a desire to do. In your life, when you start drawing nigh to God, the Bible says He'll draw nigh to you. We want to search out the matter and find out what is the perfect will of God. I want to know what God wants me to do. And apart from the Scriptures, I won't know that. Because He will reveal it. And He will show us. Now, it won't jump off the page and say, Greg, go here, necessarily. But as God is burdening him and his life, as He does all of us, that He's going to reveal to us, hey, I want you right here, or I want you over there. And it's our responsibility to do what He asks us to do so we can have the blessings of God. So Paul is talking about the gospel and how important it is. The fact that they are sanctified, he said in that next part. There's three parts to this, I guess. He says, might be acceptable, okay, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Sanctification. Now again, what is sanctification? It's the idea of being set apart, consecrated. You can set apart things and say, this is for God. When I give my tithe, that's for God. I'm giving that to Him to do what He wants. Obviously, He puts people in responsibility of taking care of that, but those people are also going to be held accountable for what they do with that as well. And so, as we are being set apart, or we're called to be holy, and it's through God's Word that occurs. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just flip over there for a second. We're not far from there at all. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 12. Well, let's begin verse 9. I always start here. But, he speaks to this. Sanctification comes with the Spirit, but you have to have the Spirit. He gives three classes of people in this particular account here in these few verses. He talks about the person who's lost. He talks about the natural man. Or excuse me, not the natural man. The natural man is lost. He talks about the carnal Christian, but also those that are saved. In verse 10 it says, but God, in verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And this is an Old Testament verse, and it's given, but the truth to be known today, God has given us an eye, He's given us an ear, and He's revealing to us those things today. We have the completed canon. There's a lot of things we can know today that they didn't know then, because we have the completed book, the Bible, all 66 of them. Verse 10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us, how? By His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit wants the spirit that's in a believer to line up with the Spirit of God. And that happens by looking to the Lord and submitting to Him our life and our wants and our desires and trusting Him to take care of us. And it's a process in the fact that, I don't know about you, but I go back to Romans 7. Boy, who's going to win this battle? You know? And every time we can do that, there are different things in our lives that we can come to that are really, we would think, I would never even do that. But you know, that's what God wants us. He wants us to come to Him for every big decision, every small decision. You know, you get up in the morning, He wants you to already in the morning say, Lord, help me. Guide me today, direct my life, protect me, provide for me, meet my needs. Thank You for what You've done. Thank You for what You're going to do. He wants you to just commune with Him. And so He can guide your path and direct you. And that's important for all of us. And it's the Spirit of God that searches all these things that we can know them. Verse 11, He gives the comparison. He says, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man, which is in him. In other words, we know what man thinks like, because I'm one of them, you know. I know what the lost think like. I know what the lost do. I'm no different than anybody else. I'm just like everybody else that was lost. There's no doubt about it. I was lost one time, and that's who I was. And we know that. In verse 11, he continues, says, "Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." He said, "Bruce, when you were lost, you didn't understand the things of the Spirit of God." He was right. I mean, it just didn't make sense to me that I'm to love my neighbor. Boy, I didn't like my sister. I can get along with her. I got to love my neighbor. And there are people that I don't like. And he says, you're to love your enemies. That's an impossibility without the Lord, to truly love someone like the Bible teaches. But nonetheless, it's the Spirit of God that we need. Verse 12, "Now we have received," he's talking to Christians, "not the spirit of the world." And we can see what the spirit of the world's doing. Just look at what's going on. Look what Adam read tonight about how Jerry Nadler thinks that God's not in this Congress. We don't need to address him. We don't need to talk to him. He needs to go back and read the writings of the forefathers, the people who founded this country, and go back, and he needs to get on his knees and ask God not to take him out. I can't believe it, but that's our country today. So we haven't received that. But we received, he says, "but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." God's given us so much, but to know Him is to have the Spirit of God, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 13, he says, "which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And then verse 14 says, "but the natural man, the lost man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." The foolish man, he's not going to know these things. He can't know them. In verse 15, 16, he says, "but he that is spiritual," talking about the Christian, the one who is saved, born again. The carnal is the last one, but we're not going to go there. "Is spiritual, judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord?" This is a rhetorical question. "That he may instruct him." Nobody can instruct the Lord. But look what he says here. "But we, Christians, have the mind of Christ." We have that mind. We can study it out and find out what it is. And that is how we become sanctified and how our lives are being transformed and changed and what God wants to do with each one of us. And how important is the Word of God for a Christian? How important it is for anybody that does anything at any job as the SOP or the manual. In fact, there's a lot of places, probably most places that you get a job, any high-tech job for sure, but just about any job, they're going to want you to know how you're to behave in that environment, how you're to work, how you're to protect others and yourself with the safety that goes on. There's SOPs on top of SOPs. They have books, I can't even think of what they're called anymore, it's been so long, but chemicals in them, so you know about those chemicals and how they can affect you. And they're very dangerous, by the way. I know all about that too. But this here book is that to us as Christians. This teaches us how to operate in this world, how to live amongst everybody in this world, and how we're to react and how we're to live. And again, the purpose being that we are the light that shineth in a dark place, that others may know Christ. He left us here for that. Otherwise, when I got saved on October 26, 1992, He should have just took me right out of here. But He didn't do that. He said, "I got a plan." And I'm still finding out His plan, like every one of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for the Word. We thank You for the opportunity to be here tonight. I thank You for each one here. I thank You for their love for You. And Father, what a blessing it is to know that these folks care and look to You and trust You. I pray You just continue to help them to walk and to look to You each day. We do pray for Josh tonight. We pray, Father, You would just continue to give him an extra portion. Father, You'd comfort him. Father, You just give him strength. Help him to cast his care upon You, that his mind would be stayed on You, Father. I know these are difficult times and the trials are not easy. And I just pray You'd help him see him through this. And again, for the doctors to have wisdom and understanding, that You would help make known everything that's going on with Josh's body. Make it clear through the test. And the opportunity to observe. And I pray for Elizabeth that you would comfort her and strengthen her, help her to get rest through this. And Father, just bless the family. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.